Are you faithful in the Lord, reliable, someone who sees others as more important than themselves, having proven that? It'll prove over time. If you're not, today's the day. God is so gracious. We have the most amazing God. No matter how much we have messed up, no matter how wicked we've been, no matter how sinful we've been, we can just confess and be forgiven and move forward from this point, not looking back.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a phone comment from Norma in New Mexico. She says, I really enjoyed ETS's message. It was encouraging and edifying, and it gave me knowledge and a good attitude. It makes me want to get out there and keep on trying. Well, Norma, thank you so much for letting us know what God is doing through His Word, and we are so thankful that He is using it to bless His children, to edify, build up, encourage, and give us good attitudes. So praise the Lord.
And Greg, we often put Bible characters into a class of their own, spiritually speaking. We unconsciously imagine that they were somehow better equipped or maybe less vulnerable than the rest of us, and thus they were able to do things that regular people like you and me can't do.
Well, Dave, I've heard this, but the fact is nothing could be further from the truth. The reality is that God chose the weak things of this world to shame the wise, and just a brief survey of those in Scripture whom He chose would remove any idea that these men somehow, or even the women that He chose, were somehow more qualified, spiritually speaking, than the rest of us. So what we'll see today is that being an example for others to follow is at its core about one thing. And if we do that one thing consistently, we will become an example like Timothy or the Apostle Paul to those around us. And I'm going to share that one thing in today's message. So please turn with us to Philippians chapter 2, and we're looking at verses 19 through 24.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and is not what? Concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Paul and Timothy had a Christ-like concern for the body of Christ, where they were at in their faith, where they were at in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And folks, don't overlook the sacrifice that Paul was asking Timothy to do at this time. There was no airplanes and emails and things like that. Paul was asking Timothy to go back from Rome to Philippi to check on their spiritual condition. This was no simple task. It was incredibly selfless and a sacrifice. It was a long and arduous journey. Remember when Paul was on his way to Rome, he was shipwrecked, experienced many other difficult situations. Paul is not simply asking Timothy to fill in on Sunday, to fill in the nursery. He's asking him to make an incredible sacrifice. And he says, for I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. There's no one else. This is a striking statement. There is no one else around me that I could send. Shouldn't there have been some around him? A lot of believers, I guess. Caesar's household, others. Not saying they weren't believers. He's giving a real evaluation of where the people were around him. And by the way, whoever read this would go, ooh, I guess we're not there. Those in Rome, right? Guess Timothy is the only one. Well, that's the reality of it, right? Should be convicting. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. And why? He says, literally, says, for they all, verse 21, seek after their own interests, not those of Christ. It's a sad statement, but very true in the church these days. It's true in here at times. It's true in our lives. They all continually seek after literally their own things. They don't seek after the things of Christ, they seek after their own things. Everybody who was ministering to him in Rome, in the Roman church, those of Caesar's household, all. I got nobody. Now we already know, and we'll know from next week, that he had already sent Epaphroditus. He's gone. It was well to note that Luke and Aristarchus were not there at this time. Everyone left, except Paul and Timothy, were those who were not same-souled, who were seeking the things of themselves. Do you live that way? Do you seek the things of yourself every day? Is that the way your life is structured? He's talking about believers here, by the way. Believers. The reality is there's not many believers totally sold out who are willing to do what God calls them to do, to sacrifice it all to do what God calls them to do. The things of you are in the way. It says, for they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. And I'll be honest with you, there are very few people here I can ask to do things in terms of the ministry. But there are precious few with the right attitude who will selflessly do whatever I as the shepherd ask them to do, which is right in the Lord. And this brings me joy. Just be honest with you. Paul was honest with them there. Be honest with you. I can't do this. I've got time with my family. Nothing wrong with your family. I can't serve in the nursery. I got to do this. I can't teach the kids. I'm busy. I can't play an instrument. I really got other things. I can't do this or that. These are small things. This isn't asking you to go to Rome. Simply put, in those moments, as we all are tempted, the things of you are more important than him. Folks, I'm not saying these things to make you feel bad or offend you, but I hope in the Lord you'll prayerfully evaluate your lives in regards to your faithfulness and selflessness. And my desire is that each one of you would be like Timothy. Timothy was selfless, willing to give it all for Christ from a changed heart. How about you? Would the scripture, if it was written about you today, like it was about those around Paul this day, would it classify you as one who seeks after your own things or the things of Christ? You know, it's interesting. Timothy was different. All the others who wouldn't genuinely be concerned all sought after their own interests or their own things, but not those of Christ Jesus. In contrast, Timothy was seeking the things of Christ Jesus, the things that are of him. The things that he wants, his interests. Timothy was being just like Jesus Christ, who let go of his interests on earth to obey the Father to the point of death, being a servant. And Timothy was the same thing. It's no small journey. Salvation worked out. A genuine concern. What an example. We have two options as believers. Our own interests or things, or the interests or things of Christ. And what are the things of Christ? Well, to get to know the interests of a person, you must know that person. You must get to know that person, and when you do, you get to know their interests. If you want to know the things of Christ, you want to know what God is interested in, get to know Christ. How do we get to know him? Through his word. His word introduces us to him, and it is his word that we find the mind of Christ, what his desires are in relationship to everything pertaining to life and godliness. Marriage, work, relationships, raising children, everything, ministry, the things of Christ are revealed. There's no way to stay focused on those interests if you're not continually feeding on the word of God. I could give a myriad of examples. Issues where I see people not training their children rightly. You're focused on the things of you, not the things of Christ, because God's word is clear what you should be doing. Issues at work. Issues in relationships. Issues in how one interacts. The things of Christ are to do all things without complaining and grumbling. The things of me is to get upset at it and grumble. You see the difference? The word prompts us to love the Lord, to obey him, to serve him, to fellowship with him. It prompts us to obey our leaders in Christ, to love the brethren, to serve the brethren, to fellowship with them. Do you seek after your own interests or the interests of Christ? Again, I don't say this to insult you or anger you or irritate you, but to stir you up to evaluate your life rightly before the Lord. I tell you right now, if you don't fellowship with the body of Christ, your interests are above the interests of Christ. Just the reality of it. Now, people can phony fellowship and make that an idol or whatever and be hypocritical. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about genuine desire. If you don't serve in the body of Christ, I'm not talking about official serving. Just you see something that needs to be done, you help somebody. You have a heart that sees others as more important. If you don't do that, your interests are above those of Christ. If you're not in the Word of God desiring to know the Lord, your interests are above those of Christ. One pastor writes, it's not that people won't serve Christ the church at all. No, they will. It's that they're not single-minded. The church is made up of perfunctory servers for whom Christ is one of the items on their agenda. Shouldn't be that way. Timothy wasn't that way, and neither was Paul. And I want each one of us to be like Timothy in the heart. We're going to see Timothy obviously was a shepherd in a sense, but we're going to see Epaphroditus, same heart attitude, a yielded heart for the things of Christ. Could it be said of you? For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will generally be concerned of your welfare, for they all seek after their interest, not of Christ. Could you be the one that would genuinely seek after the welfare? Is your heart same souled with Paul's? Honestly evaluate your heart and your actions. Timothy was seeking the things of Christ rather than the things of self. And yet he was a human being. He had issues. Paul had to encourage him to not shrink back, to not to be timid. Paul had to encourage him. He's just like us, but Timothy had a right heart. He was willing to obey. He was focused on things of Christ. Colossians chapter 3, we're commanded, if we've been raised up with Christ, to keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Today's the day to evaluate what things do I set my mind on. Well, not only was Timothy focused on Christ and the things of Christ, notice he was also a visibly proven servant. He was seasoned. Look at verse 22. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Now, Paul is laying the groundwork for them to receive Timothy again and to receive him rightly. That's why he's sharing this. But we can gather these principles out of here concerning his character. He says, you know of his proven worth. You understand it. You know of it. The word translated proven worth is also translated proven character, dokimon. It speaks of the process of testing in order to approve something or prove it as genuine. It spoke of metals that would be tested by fire. The junk would be taken off and the result would be a metal that was pure. It was proven to be what it was. We see this in regards to our trials. Our trials are part of that proving process, by the way. Our trials are part of that process that prove us to be genuine in the faith. James chapter 1 verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the proving of your faith, testing is not, it's proving, this is to believers, knowing that when your faith is proven, it produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result. Romans chapter 5 verse 3, and not only this, but we exult or we boast in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, same word. God uses those things in our lives to manifest the result of what has been tested. You know that Timothy has proven worth in the context of serving with me. You've seen it. There is a visible reality of his proven worth that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Timothy was not a new convert, but a seasoned believer with a proven demonstrated character. Another pastor writes, Paul does not speak about Timothy's achievements. He does not tell us where Timothy had spoken or how many people were converted under his ministry. We're not told about the number of books he's written or the important people whom he had been associated with. We're not told about his charm or charisma or oratory skills. Paul commends Timothy to the Philippians as a man who desires a hearing because of his proven character or worth. He's been tested. You see, when Paul writes Timothy later on concerning the qualifications of elders, he tells them not a new convert. And then while addressing deacons, he says also referring to them, let them first be tested. Let them be proven to be faithful. a visible reality of them faithfully serving the Lord Jesus Christ, manifesting his character. Do you have proven worth as a servant of Christ? Has it been demonstrated such that everyone else can see? I could tell you the answer for each and every one of you guys as a shepherd. I'm to watch over your souls. And very few have proven worth, to be honest with you. The process that it has demonstrated. And sadly, I can tell you of those who there's no consistent demonstration of a yielded life manifest in a continual, habitual, humble serving of Christ. Just be honest with you. Paul was honest with them. Yet I praise God for the proven worth of those that are here who have demonstrated faithfully day after day after day. And I could say to you, if I had to send them somewhere, this person, you know it. You've seen their proven worth. They served day in and day out faithfully. You've seen it. And you would have to go, yeah, I've seen it. How about you? Have you passed the test and been proven worth for serving? Are you faithful or unreliable? Are you faithful in the Lord, reliable? Someone who sees others is more important than themselves, having proven that? It'll prove over time. If you're not, today's the day. God is so gracious. We have the most amazing God. No matter how much we have messed up, no matter how wicked we've been, no matter how sinful we've been, we can just confess and be forgiven and move forward from this point, not looking back. And allow God then to take you and prove and demonstrate his character through you as you serve. Timothy was of proven character. And Paul could name his name. And the name was in contrast to everyone else, which implies they're not. Have you passed the test or failed? Pass the test. Repent, trust the Lord, be faithful. Get the things of you out of there. Jesus Christ said, if you want to follow me, you got to die to yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Well, lastly, notice Timothy was a submissive servant. He was submissive. He was willing to do whatever the Lord desired through Paul. He was willing. Whatever Paul asked, he was willing to do. There was no, well, you know. Notice what he says. But you know of his proven worth that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Now we see Timothy's proven character manifest in the context of the church. He says that, here's the proven worth demonstrated, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. It was manifest, it was visible, and Paul says that he douleoed with me, he slaved with me. Now please note, Timothy was not Paul's slave, don't get it wrong. The relationship was not slave-master, but slave-slave. Beginning of Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus. Timothy was equal to Paul. 2 Timothy 2, suffer hardship along with me as a good servant of Christ, Paul tells Timothy. But yet within that slave-slave relationship, Timothy was submissive to the spiritual authority God had placed in his life and had proven character exemplified by that submissive serving to Paul like a child serving his father. They have a relationship and there is an authority in that relationship. The implications are submissiveness and obedience in the context of a family relationship. In Christ. Timothy was submissive. And if you're not willing to submit yourself to the spiritual authority God has placed in your life, you will never demonstrate proven character. Never. But you will demonstrate selfishness and pride. And you know if you have this problem or not. Take for instance, if I ask you to do something as a shepherd, how does your heart react? Small requests, nothing large like this, tell you that. I've never asked anybody to go on a big journey that sacrificed your life. The Lord hasn't prompted us to do that. We don't see that in Scripture here specifically. Paul was an apostle. But what about serving under the leadership in the church where they ask you to do something? Timothy voluntarily submitted to Paul's authority. He was submissive. Timothy was exemplified, and we see this in Paul's command in 1 Thessalonians 5. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. He was willingly pliable. The Lord Jesus didn't consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but humbled himself, right? Taking the form of a bondservant, submissive to the Father. That's our model. Have this mind in you. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you. And what does it say here? And have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. Are you willing to voluntarily let someone have spiritual charge over you and give you instruction? A lot of trouble happens when your heart's not there. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them. So God says, things of Christ versus the things of you. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Timothy was submissive, serving like a child serving his father. Whatever you want, Dad. That's the illustration. Whatever you want. Go get this. You know, a child, you have a child that you say, hey, grab that for me. You know, whatever this is. Serving. Yes, yes, yes. There's a common goal for the family, right? Child serving his father. Faithful servants of Christ Jesus willingly and gladly submit to the spiritual authority God has placed in our lives. They're willing to do what Jesus wants them to do through the requests that often come through the spiritual authority in their lives. I'm talking about lording over, but those requests. What an example. Timothy demonstrated proven worth by submitting to the spiritual authority that Christ placed in his life and was faithful, and it was proven. I tell you today, there's probably some here today that have never submitted from the heart to godly authority. The minute someone comes alongside you, you split and go to a different church, or you stay with a bad attitude. This type of behavior exemplifies those who seek their own desires, not those of Christ, and it breaks my heart, and I've seen it. If you're seeking the interests of Christ, you will gladly submit to those Christ has placed over you as they obey him. Timothy was faithful, proven worth. Paul had no one else of like mind, same soul that he could send. Therefore, he desired to send him quickly. Let's finish our verses here back in chapter 2, Philippians, verse 23. Therefore, because of all we just learned, therefore I hope to send him immediately, as soon as I see how the things go with me. And I trust in the Lord. Again, Paul is trusting in the Lord in this. Actually, the word trust here means literally I'm persuaded in the Lord. Not the word translated faith usually, but I'm completely persuaded in the Lord that I myself also shall be coming shortly. Because I have no one else to send you of same soul who would be interested in the things of Christ, I have no one else of proven worth, I'm going to send Timothy. This is the man. This is why I'm sending him, guys. Receive him. Timothy's a good guy. And it's evident. Let me ask you this. If Paul needed one of us to check up the spiritual condition of his sheep somewhere else, would he choose you? Looking at your life, would he choose you to do that? You know the answer. If that answer is no, you need to do some soul searching. What things of me are in the way? Confess it, be forgiven, be about the things of Christ.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in our final moments together today, you asked a penetrating question in your message. You asked if we were faithful to the calling that God has given us, faithful to keeping the commands in His Word, faithful to serving others and considering them more important than ourselves. And interestingly, even in Paul's day, those kind of people were in short supply.
Yeah, the reality is they really were, and what a blessing it has been to see Timothy's example. But we need to remember that, first of all, the only way that we can be faithful is through obeying the Lord's commands, trusting Him and obeying Him. And so everything we've seen in today's passage is possible. The Lord is willing and able to help us if we will submit ourselves to Him. The choice is really up to us, and we're faced with that choice multiple times a day. You see, faithful Christians, those who are examples to follow, are those who trust Christ. It's not just in the big things. It's in the day-to-day interactions. It's in every element of their lives. And so I want to ask you, do you want to be a faithful example? Then trust a faithful God who is willing to work through you his glorious word in your everyday circumstances, in each and everything he allows to come across your path.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.